Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're doing part 2 of the text that is before you. And so I'm not going to read through the text again. Just follow with me as we look at the scriptures. The title of the sermon is, I'm a Blessed Sinner. Trust that you are. Now friends, I wonder if you ever thought of your unconverted position. I know most of us, you know, have come from backgrounds where we are unconverted. But those of us that are within the context of the family who are Christians, you may not have passed the transition in terms of, you know, saying, you know, this is when I really got converted. Because you've been exposed to Christian teaching, you've been exposed to church, you've been exposed to the fellowship and all that, and you cannot say specifically, this is a time that I've really, God spoke to my heart and I realized what a wicked sinner I was. And you turn from your wickedness and you've given your life to Jesus. Some people have specific moments. Some don't. It's a gradual transition that takes place. And they can't give you a definite date or month or year. But most of us would have come from an unconverted position. And did you know that every single human being, whether he believes it or not, is in Adam? What do I mean by that? I mean that you have the Adamic nature. Now, I have asked Hindus, Muslims, and non-Christians the question. Seriously, I did. Who do they think were the first people to be created? And without fail, everyone that I asked, answered Adam and Eve. So they know the first two people that have been created in the world or in the universe. So when people talk about humanity being in Adam, the understanding is this. Not only is Adam our human father in creation, Adam is our human father in damnation. When you sin and disobey God, you are displaying Adam's sin, and if that behavior continues without repentance or by simply ignoring all that you hear from the preaching or from God's word when you're reading it, you cannot be saved. And if you are not saved, you are heading in the path of destruction. As Romans teaches, the wages of sin is death. It is the gift of God that is eternal life. Now, when Adam disobeyed God, he fell into sin. He caused sin and death to be imputed to every human being that followed. Now, what do I mean by imputed? It simply means that no human being is born perfect. That is why we talk about a child being born in sin. If you read Psalm 51, David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. When you were saved, when you were born again, when you were rescued from sin and death. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. This is what took place. An exchange took place. Christ's righteousness was imputed to you. And your sin was taken by Jesus. There's a transfer that took place on the cross. You are no longer in Adam. You are in Christ. The curse has been reversed. Do you understand the enormous blessing of having your sin reversed? And this is why Paul repeats it so often in verses 3 to 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. Have a look at verses 3 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. It is in Christ God has blessed us in time and chosen us in eternity. It is in Christ that He poured out His grace, and it is in Christ we have redemption and forgiveness. Have a look at verses 6 and 7. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in Christ, in the one He loves. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. It is in Christ that the first Jewish believers became God's people. Have a look at verses 11 and 12. In Christ we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Can you see that? It is in Christ that God has set forth His plan to unite all things. Have a look at verses 13 and 14 again. It says there, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. Do you realize what God's plan is for you today? He's saying, once you were in darkness, once you were separated from Christ, once you were blind, once you were hopeless and godless, but now in Christ you have been blessed out of your socks. You have been blessed beyond measure. You have been overwhelmed and overflowing with blessing. I can't imagine how a Christian cannot grasp such a blessing. You see, the seal and mark of this great blessing is the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, when somebody asks you, are you a Christian? And you say, yes, I am a Christian. You are making a very profound statement. You are saying that I follow no other gods but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you are saying that my God is not Allah. You're saying my God is not the universal God. You're saying my God is not the gods that are worshipped by other people. You are saying my God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's who we worship. We don't worship three gods. We worship one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is who you are and who I am when we claim to be Christians. We are chosen by God. We are blessed and saved by Jesus. We are sealed and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Not a single blessing has been withheld from us. Of course, we still need to grow into maturity. Of course, we need to be transformed into His image. Of course, we have to explore His riches even further. And God may yet grant us the deeper and richer experiences of Himself on the way. Yet, we have this blessing now, and it is ours to enjoy. There is a final fulfillment that will come. So what are these blessings that God has blessed us in Christ? Well, the whole passage, verses 3 to 14, which is one sentence, speaks about it to be the past, the present, and the future. The past blessing, listen to me, the past blessing is election. You have been chosen before you were even born. You have been chosen before your mother and father decided to have you. You have been chosen before your mother and father decided to get married. You understand that? You have been chosen. You are the chosen one. You have been elected. That's the past blessing. The present blessing is adoption. You have been adopted into the family of God, the royal family of God. And the future blessing is unification or glorification, when all things will be united under Christ and where we do not have to suffer the indignities of sin and all the difficulties and the suffering that come with it. That's the final glorification. And it's the third blessing that is recorded here in terms of when we will be totally glorified in Christ. But notice the blessing that we see in terms of verses 7 and 8. The blessing of redemption. It's the richness of redemption. See, God the Father is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son, and He forgave our sins. And redemption means to set free from slavery. Now, in the days of Paul, slavery was legally practiced. You know what happened? Men, women, and children were brought as slaves to work for their boss or their master. It's very much like today where we go and find employment. And so we are slaves to our bosses. Did you know that? But we don't use that. When our people ask you, you know, who are you working for? Well, I am employed at, and you fill in the blank. Okay? But you're really slaves to the master. That's who you are. So that's what, in the older days, what used to happen is, people used to look for work, but they were bought by their bosses. They were literally bought with money. And so they were owned by their bosses. And often slaves were set free when someone else bought them at a ransom price and allowed them their freedom. So what will happen is, some kind boss will come around and say, listen, I want to buy this particular employee from you. And then he buys it from the boss, he pays a certain amount of money, and then you are owned by a second boss. The second boss says, listen, brother, or listen, friend, you are no longer a slave to me. I want you have your total freedom, you have your total freedom to go and do as you please, go where you wish, and live as you please. You're not bound by my rules, you're not governed by me, you don't have to work for me. So there is nothing that binds them. Now, listen to this. Some slaves decided that they wanted to serve as slaves for the rest of their life for their master who purchased their freedom. They said, if you're so good to me now in terms of what you have done, we want to serve you willingly as slaves. Even though we have been declared free. But this time they didn't do so grudgingly. They did so joyfully. Obediently. And they continued to love their master through their actions in bringing honor to him. That is who we are in Christ, brothers and sisters. We've read the Romans passage of Romans chapter 6 and verses 15 to 23. It says, previously you were slaves to wickedness because your sinful nature drove you in that direction. You did everything that was totally against God. You spat on God's face. You rejected God. You did your own thing and you said, I will do it my way. I am not listening to anybody. And so you went your own way because you were slaves to your sinful nature. But then the penny dropped. Then you realize what a mess you made out of your life. You come back and God enlightens you through His Word. You reflect on His Word and you say, no, I cannot do that because I have given my life to Jesus. And so you come back and you recommit your life to Jesus and you become a slave to Jesus. Why? Because He purchased you and He set you free from that. And He said, I am going to honor Him all the days of my life and I'm going to serve Him and Him alone. You are slaves to righteousness. And you'll say you will do good and you will try to honor Him through your lifestyle. That is what holiness is all about. That is what, when Pastor Jonathan read that passage, let us not give up meeting together, he said, it's a bad habit. And God is saying, that is not good for you. Change your bad habit to a good habit and meet with God's people. You have been set free from sin and are slaves to righteousness. Now what benefit is that to me? Well, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And the benefit is, well, the gift of God is eternal life. That's the benefit. The ransom price paid by God the Father for our sins is not silver or gold. It is paid by the precious blood of the Lamb. And Jesus paid a costly price for you. How is your life a blessing to others? You've got to ask yourself that question. How is my life a blessing to somebody else? If such redemption caused blessing to flow, then it should overflow from you to somebody else. And notice also the blessing of forgiveness or the richness of forgiveness in verse 7. And it says there, and I'll read that very, very quickly. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with His riches. Now, to be forgiven of our sin is a very staggering thought, isn't it? The cross is the only place where we look back to. Jesus deals with every sin that has been committed and every future sin that I will commit. It is complete. The apostles proclaimed it. The early church fathers preached it. And today, we continue to make this the defining moment of our lives today. You're hearing it even now. And the stark reality of that blessing has not really sunk in to many Christians' hearts who have been in the church for a very, very long time. Strange how people can accept that Jesus died for their sin, and yet when you ask them, brother or sister, are you absolutely certain that if you die, you happen to die tonight, you will be going to heaven? And they look at you absolutely shocked. And the expression on the face give it away. They're not certain. And they shake their heads. And I say, how long have you been a Christian? Many years. And that reality has not set in. They have no certainty. They still act and behave as if Jesus did not pay for all their sins. And I began to reflect on this. And I've come up with the conclusion that even though we know the facts, we give in to the sinful nature as it overpowers our ability to make the right decision. And the sinful nature does what is contrary to the Spirit. See, the Bible says, we're going to come to it in the Passion Week on Good Friday. This is it. Tetelestai. It is finished. The work on the cross is complete for you. You have been forgiven. And what really needs to register in your heart and mind is for the truth to be applied. And this is where believers fall short. It is the application of the word, dear friends, that we fall short of. That is why you will go out today and you'll forget everything I said. Why? Because you fail to apply the word. You see, friends, the pastor cannot make your problem disappear. The pastor cannot come and give you an ointment to say, apply it in your life, and that particular sin that you're battling with will disappear. You know, like when you go to a doctor, he says, take this 3 times a day, and you'll be okay. You come to us, or you come to Jesus for that matter. Jesus doesn't give you a tablet that will make all your problems disappear. But this is what he gives you. He gives you his word. And his word is a healing for the nations. The problem is we don't take God's word seriously. How often we meet with people again and again and again, and we find that it is the word of God that they do not apply. And yet when the doctor gives them medication and they know that if they don't take it, they will die, they take it. The wages of sin is death. The medication for your body is the word. And such blessing and richness flows by simply believing and putting into practice. And as I close, the last thing that I want to say is, well, probably the penultimate thing, is the richness of wisdom and understanding. Verse 8 speaks of it. And he says, God has lavished on us with all wisdom and all understanding. He's lavishly given us wisdom and understanding. You know, when we speak about somebody that is lavish, we speak about somebody that just continues giving and giving and giving. He's lavish. All right? And that is what God has done. He has lavishly poured out wisdom and understanding. Now listen to me. This blessing has nothing to do with intelligence or how many degrees you have behind your name. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? With all the wisdom and knowledge God has given this world, the world has rejected God. Greeks sought human wisdom and Jews sought signs from heaven. But both groups were rebuked for their claim to wisdom and science. God used the foolishness of those who preach to save those who believe. And so the man without the Christ may be brilliant in the natural realm, but he is ignorant in spiritual things. And so the wisdom of God is seen as foolishness in the eyes of the world. Jesus then is personified and is looked on as true wisdom. That is why people are being killed, because they are Christians and they believe the gospel. Why? Because the world does not understand who we believe in. And they reject the Savior that has died for us. And friends, as we come now and we think about our own lives, look at it from this perspective. And this is the last blessing that I want to pour out to you from the scriptures, verse 13 and 14. It says there, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now listen to me. You know, when Janine and I was in Ireland last year, we not only enjoyed God's creation in being overawed by the beauty of the acres and acres of green fields silhouetted against the beautiful sea and mountains, but also we saw the white and fluffy and cuddly little sheep grazing alongside the road, and we almost wanted to go and cuddle them. How can you eat something that is so cuddly? But yet, you know, that is how you see them here. Our sheep is nothing compared to them. Look at our sheep, it's dirty brown, you know, everything else. You know, but there it's white, it's fluffy. It's like a little rabbit that you want to hold and cuddle. But you know what happened? As we looked at it, we saw they were stained, they were marked. And they had either black paint or red paint on them, which blotched that beautiful white fluffy fur that covered them. You know, the Bible says we have been marked. You know why those sheep have been marked? It tells you who they belong to. It tells you that that flock of sheep belongs to a certain farmer. That flock of sheep belongs to a certain farmer. So it tells you, it speaks of ownership. And we have been marked. You have been given a mark. You will not be given a mark at the end times, as people would say. You have already the mark within you, and that mark is the Holy Spirit. It's your birthmark. The Holy Spirit is your birthmark. Every Christian has it. It proves that you are born again. It proves that you are secure, that you are authentic, that you are owned, and that you have authority over the devil. The Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance. It's a good deposit. And friends, how is it that people look for blessing outside of the blessing that they already have inside? What am I saying? Well, they visit a building outside of their town, their own town. It is slick. It is cool. It is entertaining. It is gripping. It is a hammer. It makes you feel important. It captures your heart. Take another scenario within a missions context where the community struggled to make ends meet. The building also holds a large number of people, but it is not slick. It is not cool. In fact, it is sticky. It is not entertaining. It is not a hammer, and it doesn't grip you. Yet both claim to have the Holy Spirit and all spiritual blessing in Christ. And we carry this blessing wherever we go. It is you and I, brothers and sisters, that make the difference. Not the cool pastor, not the comfortable building, not the savvy technology. God's people coming together is for the sole purpose of glorifying Jesus and enjoying Him forever. And such blessing will constrain us to be part of the ebb and flow of the church. Now, as I close, let me ask you a couple of valid, pertinent questions. If I am God's possession in such a way, marked by the Holy Spirit, then you are proclaiming that you belong to Jesus. And if you belong to Jesus, then you will do what Jesus tells you. Question. Do you belong to Jesus? And do you do what Jesus tells you? Secondly, I depend on God's will. And therefore, it makes evangelism so much more exciting. God's will. He saved me. I didn't save myself. God saved me. And that is why I get so excited when people get saved. Now, there's a young woman that got saved. She came to know Jesus this week. And if we were excited with Pastor John, and as excited, so much excited when souls get saved, then you would have all stood up and said, glory to be to God in the highest. Hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Whatever comes out of your mouth in terms of praising God, you would have said that, because when one soul is saved in heaven, all the angels in heaven rejoice. When one soul is saved on earth, all the angels in heaven rejoice. So if I am saved and if I hear somebody else get saved, I am so thrilled, because they've been clutched out of Satan and brought into the domain of God. Lastly, I live for God's glory. Therefore, I look forward to the unification in the future under one head, and where there will be no discord or division. It will all be made clear for the praise of His glory. You can read the text. What I'm saying here, brothers and sisters, is that in this body, you'll experience difficulties. If you're a Christian and you're experiencing difficulties and persecution John spoke about, comes in one way or the other. You don't have to be in a persecuted country, but persecution can come in one way or the other. But how you deal with that in your own life in terms of your godliness will determine how you will be in future, when God will remove all those things completely and you'll be set free from it. Whatever it is that is hampering you and whatever it is that is holding you back, you will be set free completely and totally. But you can know that freedom now, because Christ has set you free. So let us come before the Lord as we pray and as we think about what we've just heard. Perhaps in your own heart you want to just reflect on what I've been saying and all the blessings that we have in Jesus. The richness and blessing of the Holy Spirit. The richness and blessing of wisdom and understanding. The richness and blessing of the forgiveness of sins. The richness and blessing of redemption. Think about that. Gracious Lord, what great blessing you have poured on us as believers. As we approach the Passion Week, and as today is generally regarded as Palm Sunday, Lord, we anticipate and celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus during this Easter period. May we be so moved in our hearts by your Holy Spirit in terms of how much you have cared for us and showered us with so much of forgiveness, wisdom, understanding, and more importantly, the precious Holy Spirit. You have redeemed us, Lord, and we pray that you will continue to reign in our hearts to serve people. We confess we do not do this enough. Help us that we may find it in our hearts to commit to one specific area within the context of the local church I am involved in, or the local church that I attend. Lord, may we not leave room for regret when we are in our deathbed. And when we are ready to meet with you, may we never allow tears to flow out of our eyes, thinking that I have not done what I should have done. Oh God, help us today. I am so blessed. Help me to be a blessing to others. Help this blessing to overflow to others. For in Jesus' name, amen.